You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, Buffalo Bills fans, welcome back. It's another episode of Breaking Buffalo Rumblings. I am your host, Anthony Marino. Happy to be with you here today for our latest episode of our podcast. We appreciate everybody joining us each and every week as we talk about some of the breaking news for the Buffalo Bills, but also addressing some of the hot topics taking place around our favorite football team. So for this week, you know, it's May. It's the end of a quiet period, I guess you could say, for NFL fans as we talk about OTAs and the Buffalo Bills with their offseason programming in week two of the OTAs. And really, the headline of our conversation for today's podcast is going to be around Josh Allen. And the question, if the hype train for Josh Allen is real, if it's something that you as a fan are on board with, or if it's something that you're quite frankly pumping the brakes as it's a little bit too early in the offseason for you at this time. A lot of this conversation stems from the media coverage around Josh Allen during the session, the most recent session that was available to the media on Tuesday afternoon, where they were able to observe the latest practice for the Buffalo Bills. And by all accounts, Josh Allen looked spectacular during the Tuesday practice. And there were multiple reports coming from some of the most trusted beat reporters that many of you follow on Twitter, including Joe Biscaglia, Sal Capaccio, Mark Ludwizik, Matt Perino, Matthew Fairburn, amongst others, really covering the team and looking at it, and everyone coming away from this session that Josh Allen had a great day on Tuesday. So with that, it's led to a little bit of a debate amongst the media, amongst Bills fans, amongst those on Twitter that you may see taking a different stance. Of course, you've got the overly optimistic group that is excited. We're talking about football in May. Josh Allen, the prize quarterback, entering his second season. Positive feedback about everything that he's doing with some of the new weapons around him. Then, of course, you have some of the detractors on the other side that have been beaten down by things like the drought, by struggles at the quarterback position for the Buffalo Bills, that take the stance and say, listen, let's wait until we see it in the regular season, until any of that is in place. We are going to pump the brakes, and that's something that we do not want to get ahead of ourselves with right now. So, you know, interesting, because I put it out to some of the followers on Twitter to try and get an understanding from them. You know, where do you fall within something like this, right? Is it something where you talk about the hype train as it's been referred to by many? Is it something that you're jumping on board, or really from your perspective, are you completely pumping the brakes and it's way too soon to get excited about Josh Allen and his play at this point? Now, as you know, most of my followers obviously are Buffalo Bills fans. So with that, you expect a hint of optimism. I'm not sure that I expected this much. As of the time of this recording, we've got about 80% of the responses are positive, saying that they are completely on board, where you've got around 20% that are pumping the brakes and not ready to get excited with the play of Josh Allen just yet. As I go back and forth with it, of course, I ask myself the same question, where do I fall on this? And it shouldn't come as too much of a surprise for you guys that I'm all aboard with this. And I realize there's been times we've talked about quarterbacks and off-season conditioning programs and how they've looked good in the past. Nathan Peterman comes to mind, Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Fitzpatrick, amongst others, and we can go on and on. But none of those guys were the number 7 overall pick in the first round of the NFL draft. And I think when you talk about the skill set that Josh Allen has, what he has shown, his abilities, right down the final 6 games of the 2018 regular season, it is easy for me to get excited about it and the fact that he's looking good in OTAs. We look at the investment that the Buffalo Bills made along the offensive line, at the wide receiver position, tight end, and even you can throw in running back, right? So all of the weapons that have been added, as well as solidifying the protection for Josh Allen along the offensive line, it's easy for me to get excited about it, right? And with that, I say it because from my perspective, you've got two choices. You can be positive about it or you can choose to be negative. And for myself, I follow this team. I do the work with Buffalo Rumblings. I interact with everyone on Twitter because I love this team, right? It's a hobby for me. It's something that I enjoy. You spend some time interacting with fans like yourself, getting excited about the season. And really, for the first time in a long time, right? I can't even remember, right? So we're probably talking back to the Drew Bledsoe era where you could say, listen, we know who our starting quarterback is. There is no question. There is reason to be optimistic. Think about how long that has been for fans, right? You talk about a 15-year stretch of competitions, about question marks, about all of these different pieces. So now that we have the quote-unquote franchise quarterback, right? The guy with the opportunity, I guess you could say, to win that title of franchise quarterback. Coming into camp, all of the workouts, all the number one reps, they are going to Josh Allen. You can remember last season, he was starting with the threes, slowly working his way up to taking some reps with the twos, an eventual series here or there with the ones. But really, for the most part, Josh Allen was relegated to third string during the 2018 season. I've said this before, I don't think there was any plan for him to play last season, at least as early as he did. And then Nathan Peterman falls flat on his face and Josh Allen is inserted into the second half of week one against the Baltimore Ravens. So listen, I don't want to talk too much about the past, trying to focus on the future, but when you look at the stretch, the performance of Josh Allen throughout the last six games, again, after he came back from the injury during the 2018 season, it really was a new quarterback, you could almost say, right? Someone that we felt a lot of optimism around as fans, but you would still think, man, you know what? The offensive line is not good. That does not allow the running game to get going in any way, shape, or form. Most of these guys that are on the roster that were starters at wide receiver or major contributors at the start of the season have been cut and they are off the roster. And now you're really focusing on, you know, Zay Jones, a second round draft pick, Robert Foster, an undrafted free agent, and Isaiah McKenzie, who was plucked off the practice squad from the Denver Broncos, is your three primary targets on offense with your rookie quarterback, who, by the way, played at the University of Wyoming. It's not like he was coming from the SEC. So as things started to come together down the stretch, the Bills have a great performance against the Miami Dolphins in week 17. You end the season with a sense of optimism. And remember, on the Believe podcast with John Boccacino, we talked about this before. Never really thought that you would feel that good at the end of a 6-10 season, but you come off Kyle Williams' last game, you come against a dominant performance against an AFC East rival, and then you head into free agency and you got a ton of money to spend. Brandon Bean and his staff doing a great job addressing positions of need to help Josh Allen, to put the focus on him. You add a Cole Beasley, you add a John Brown, you add a Tyler Croft, who knows when he'll be back. But again, identifying these areas, going out and getting players that can be a good fit with it. So from my perspective, yes, I choose to be optimistic because of that. Now, with that said, some of the folks you interact with, you understand they may not have that same sense of optimism. I completely get it, right? You talk about the quarterback carousels over the years, even last year going into the three-way competition with Peterman, Allen, and A.J. McCarron, just the years of trying to duct tape it together, right, as opposed to going into things and identifying and drafting a top-notch quarterback. And I didn't even touch base on EJ Manuel before. So you combine all of these pieces. I can understand where there are some folks that will have a bit of skepticism, a bit of pessimism around this and go into this season and say, listen, I am pumping the brakes. This is OTAs. It is nothing to get excited about. Get into training camp. Get into the preseason. Heck, play a regular season game and let's see what you do against the New York Jets on September 8th. And I get that part. But for me personally and many of the folks that I interact with, it does come down to I've got a choice to make. And if I have the choice to embrace the optimism around this, because for me that's more enjoyable, it's more fun, it just makes engaging with fans, again, following things in the media to look at it, I can be excited if there's a lot of optimism around Josh Allen and what he's doing in OTA so far and looking forward to what the remainder of the offseason program will look like heading into training camp. I realize the end of July seems like a long time away for many of us, but again, you talk about this optimism, you look at the improvements that were made on the offensive side of the board, specifically to fit the needs of someone like a Josh Allen, it's easy for me to be excited. So why don't we do this, right? You can share in the comments, either here in the article at BuffaloRumblings.com. You can hit me up on Twitter at Anth Marino. Let me know how you feel. Let me know where you fall as it relates to Josh Allen's performance so far throughout OTAs. I'm probably going to take a break real quick. We will come back shortly after this. We're going to talk about some of the other observations taking place. Again, there's plenty of reports out there outside of the quarterback. We'll touch base on a couple of those things as we return for the latest edition of Breaking Buffalo Rumblings.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, Buffalo Bills fans, welcome back to Breaking Buffalo Rumblings. This is your host, Anthony Marino, talking week two of OTAs for the Buffalo Bills. And before the break, we talked about Josh Allen, his great performance so far. Obviously, again, we know it's early. It's only May. OTAs taking place. It's not even training camp yet. It's not even a preseason game. Maybe a little bit early to be getting excited, but I think for Buffalo Bills fans, including myself, it's easy to get excited about the optimism for the second-year quarterback, seeing what he can do as he heads into his second season with the Buffalo Bills. But there's some other pieces from the OTAs that we felt like it was important to talk about. A lot of the feedback and coverage that we're picking from today comes from Joe Biscaglia at WKBW, obviously always does a fantastic job in covering the team, and he had his observations. If you check the link here at BuffaloRumblings.com, we have got that article featured, so you can check it out and see those specifics yourself. But I think as we pull from some of the observations that came from Joe, amongst others, in the media, some interesting takeaways from week two of the OTAs. And really that piece was a sense of optimism, and I know that's a bit of a recurring theme here, but around Dawson Knox, the rookie tight end for the Buffalo Bills, third-round pick. You all know that the Bills traded 2 fourth-round selections in the 2019 draft to move up and select Knox as a tight end, but really seen as a tight end of the future. But here's what's happening with OTAs. Jason Groom out with a hamstring injury. He had a tweak last week that we talked about during the podcast as he walked off with the help from a trainer. He is still sitting out these OTAs. And Tyler Kroft, of course, broke his foot in the first day of OTAs last week as well. So really with that, Dawson Knox lining up with the first team at tight end. Lee Smith, who we see as a lock to be on the roster based on the recent contract that he signed, He's not going to line up as a starter. He is a blocking tight end, maybe in different sets, right? Can surprise you and catch a pass, lined up at end. But really with that, he is going to be a primary blocker with the occasional pass here and there. I would be surprised if he caught more than 10 passes during the 2019 season. So with that, right, although you see Smith as a lock to make the roster, of course, Knox is too, as a third-round draft pick. But here he is in his second week of OTAs, and he is lining up with the first-team offense. And I think as we, you look at the coverage, and I'll take the quote right here from Biscaglia, Knox was winning on his routes and finding space and finishing the plays with a catch for the most part. And you take a look at that, right? You talk about a guy that in his time at Ole Miss, he converted from a quarterback to a tight end. So despite being selected in the third round, he's got tremendous upside, tremendous athleticism, but was one of those players that you would go into it and say, okay, but you know what? Croft is going to be the number one. Smith will be that blocking tight end. That'll allow Knox the opportunity to kind of grow into this and catch up in time as part of the Buffalo Bills offense. Well, then these injuries take place, and all of a sudden he's running with the first team. And you don't want to get ahead of yourself. Again, you're talking about a guy that is much more of a project, but it gives him the opportunity to flash during OTAs. It gives him the opportunity to make a solid impression moving forward on the coaching staff, Sean McDermott, Brian Daboll, to do some good things during this period that maybe they can accelerate that learning curve for him just a little bit. And they may need to, because you look at the injury with Tyler Croft and you say to yourself, okay, 3 to 4 months post-surgery, what does that look like? That's a lot of speculation that came from Ian Rappaport per a source that he had. So we'll have to see what that looks like. Croft could come back sooner. It might be later, but Dawson Knox might be thrust into action a little bit sooner than many expected. So again, it's good to see that the young guy, given the opportunity, being forced into it, like we said before, but showing the potential that he can make some plays and developing an early rapport with Josh Allen. So not to focus just on all of the positive, and this is a little bit of the negative. And just like we say before, you don't want to get too optimistic. Well, you don't want to get too pessimistic either. An interesting tidbit that was noted by Biscaglia, Cody Ford lined up with the first team at right tackle, and it looks like he had a little bit of trouble dealing with Trent Murphy when they were lined up opposite one another. Joe did mention, he said, listen, these linemen, they're not wearing pads. It's non-contact. It's really from that standpoint, like, let's not, get overexcited about any of the pieces taking place around Cody Ford. But it was interesting that he noted the struggles that he had, again, early on when he was lined up with the first unit at right tackle. You will remember last week it was Ty Nesecki who was lined up at right tackle with the first team. Nesecki got bumped down to the second team during this week but was playing at left tackle. So it's going to be interesting to see, again, the media, they are not getting exposed to each day of these OTAs, so they could mix things up here and there. They might be letting you see one thing, and on those days that the practice is closed, trying a completely different formation. It will be interesting to see if Cody Ford will stay exclusively at right tackle, if he might shift inside to guard. Also along the same lines, if Ty Nesecki, if he is going to continue to bounce back between left tackle and right tackle, or if once the Bills get to their mandatory minicamp, if things start to take shape there just a little bit more. So Cody Ford with some, getting bumped up to the first team, and Trent Murphy kind of putting it on the rookie just a little bit. So, as we said before, I don't want it to be, well, hey, I can get all excited when there's reason to be optimistic. And if there's reason to be pessimistic, I just sort of brush it off. Not really the case there. But again, talking about the report that came from Biscaglia, amongst others, it doesn't seem any reason to panic right now. But the offensive line, as opposed to years past, there's going to be so much attention placed on this group when you look at the additions that were made in the draft and throughout free agency, as well as the holdovers from last season. So with that, kind of the final note that I'll probably touch base with you on Ed Oliver starting to get work in with the ones. And this is something that is probably just a matter of time. Jordan Phillips has been, at least in those open sessions of the OTAs, has been working with the first team. And, you know, let's be honest. I mean, Ed Oliver selected at number 9 overall. You've seen the highlights. You've probably watched some of the tape. You've seen the scouting reports. You know, the Bills making that selection at number 9 and knowing what Ed Oliver can be, it is only a matter of time until he will be starting at defensive tackle next to Star Lotulelei. So for Jordan Phillips, probably just, again, getting in his reps is going to be a good rotational player for the Bills during the 2019 season. But as far as that starting role, he is likely just keeping that seat for Ed Oliver until he has kind of picked up the speed of the defense under Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott and making the moves that he can. It was noted that when he was lined up opposite of Wyatt Teller, and Teller was getting some looks with the first team offensive line as well, that Oliver did not have too much trouble getting past Teller and getting into the backfield for would-be sacks. So Teller is one of those interesting guys, a fifth-round draft pick in 2018. There's been some speculation if he had shown enough, if he will show enough throughout training camp to stick for the roster during the 2019 season. We know he was thrust into a starting position last year based on some of the poor performance from the guard position, most notably Vlad Dukas. But as we do take a look at this, it is of note, you know, here is a player with NFL starting experience. Ed Oliver, again, albeit OTAs, non-contact, in pads, I get it. So I don't want you, you know, rolling your eyes here as you listen to this. I do understand, but, you know, to see him starting to get that work in with the ones, working his way up, and again, getting in the backfield, being that disruptor, there is a reason to be optimistic there. So, I get it, right? The theme of this podcast is probably optimism as we talk about Josh Allen and everything that he's done in the OTA so far. Of course, you take a look at the work being done by Dawson Knox, the third-round draft pick, Ed Oliver, and even some flashes from Devin Singletary, catching passes from Josh Allen. I probably should have noted a little bit more on him earlier in the podcast, but it was interesting because people would always say, oh, when he played, you know, his college ball, he's not a receiving threat. Well, that was the offense that they ran. And at least in the two open sessions of OTAs that members of the media have been able to attend, they have noted that Singletary has been catching passes out of the backfield. He's looked comfortable doing it. Again, you talk about developing a rapport with Josh Allen, the other quarterbacks on the roster. So it's the OTAs. Of course, we're going to try to be optimistic. We're going to look at these pieces. Any reason to be optimistic going towards this season, I think it's going to be something fun for Bills fans, myself included. And with that, we're going to wrap up this week of Breaking Buffalo Rumblings. I appreciate everybody tuning in each and every week. Please don't forget to hit that subscribe button. You can find us at BuffaloRumblings.com. You can find me at Twitter, at Anth Marino. We appreciate you listening and tuning in each week. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you next time.
Support for this show comes from Wix Studio. Designers and devs, you might be able to do your thing better on Wix Studio, a web platform with everything you need to deliver bespoke sites hyper-efficiently. Design teams get a ton of smart features that can take the grind out of web creation without it costing per pixel control. Dev teams, you get a zero setup, developer-first environment, combined with an AI code assistant and your preferred IDE for rapid deployment. Search Wix Studio today to explore the full range of features.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.